99.3 FM Nigeria Info. The time is 4:15 PM. Welcome to Ideas with discussing the governorship and the House of Assembly elections from Ideas' perspective, including the ethics and integrity of the electoral umpire INEC, the candidates, and most importantly, the lessons learned. Good afternoon, Ayobi. Welcome to the show.
Afternoon, Chukwudi. It's great to see you in the studio today.
Thank you so much.
And welcome to Paul James. Paul.
Thank you for the invitation, Ayo.
Thank you so much for honoring it.
I
guess that we should cut straight to the chase because we only have our 15 minutes of fame in the halls of Nigeria Info.
Yeah.
And, well, we've had the two sets of elections, the national and the state elections. Can you tell us what stood out about the national or the state elections vis-a-vis the national? What did you see as improvements and what did you see as having gotten worse?
I think a mismatch of experience from the two elections, especially on the part of election administration,
mm-hmm.
was on the February 25th mm-hmm. elections, presidential and national assembly elections. We thought the commission didn't manage its communication well and also failed on logistics and especially on the election resource management. The commission tried to redeem itself on the March 18th election. What it did that is very, very outstanding was the way it managed logistics.
Mm-hmm.
On the week of the election, the commission was able to substantially deliver election sensitive materials across all the states, all the local government, which led to, of course, daily commencement of polls. So we saw a sharp contrast from what obtained on February 25th, that by 7:30 in the morning, more than 47 to 50% of police stations that we had visited
mm-hmm.
reported at least an INEC official was on ground. And then by 9:30, across all the polling units that we visited in the 28 states, the process had commenced. And then what also we thought had improved was the application of the technologies in the election.
Mm-hmm.
Substantially across all the polling units, we saw the VIVAs were deployed and were used for the accreditation of voters. And at the end of the election, the VIVAs was also used for the submission of the polling unit level results. So again, a sharp contrast from the presidential election where the commission failed to submit the results immediately after elections until like 10 p.m. But for the National Assembly, for the state and gubernatorial elections, state assembly and governorship elections,
mm-hmm.
we saw from 4 p.m. across most of the centers that had finished voting,
yeah.
the commission did submit its own election reports from the different polling units. So I thought substantially that was the thing that has improved in the election.
Okay. Can I just ask before you go on to tell me the things that perhaps had not improved? What was the extent of IAGA's deployment, or did you work with other groups for the...
For the first election on February 25th, we deployed a random, the parallel vote tabulation, so we deployed observers to a randomly selected polling unit, a representative random of 1,500 polling units that are spread in all the 774 local governments and in all the states. These were also supported by other roving observers. So in all, for the presidential election, IAGA Africa deployed 3,863 observers nationwide. And for the gubernatorial elections, we deployed 1,473 observers to the 28 states.
Mm-hmm. But there were elections in all the states because the all the states had to have their state house of assembly elections.
Yes.
So you didn't observe in the states where they were not having gubernatorial elections?
So for even the state with no gubernatorial elections, because we have a nationwide structure,
yes.
we were also able to get reports. We didn't initially plan to deploy to the states, but the coordinators in those states activated the structures in the state and were able to send in some reports to us.
Mm-hmm.
Kogi, AKP, Osun all provided updates on the National Assembly elections.
And did you do a parallel vote tabulation for the gubernatorial elections?
Yes, for the gubernatorial elections, we did parallel vote in three states, in Benue, in Delta, and in Kano.
Okay.
for different reasons anyway, but also because we thought the elections will be high stakes for Benue.
Hello, Paul. Sorry, we lost you for a moment, just as you were rounding up your description of how Yiaga had deployed for the state elections. So let me go on then and ask you, you talked about the areas where you observed an improvement. Can you tell me something about where you saw things that were not so good, where there had even perhaps been things that gotten worse?
Well, I didn't hear the last question.
Okay, sorry. My question is that now that you've told us the good news, maybe we need to turn to the bad news and where you feel that things were not done better than they were at the national election, where things had gotten worse.
So for the state elections, we thought the elections were imposed by election violence, by voters' oppression, by executive radicality or executive impunity, and also ethnic profiling that did not allow some Nigerians a chance to exercise their franchise. I beg to differ with the opinion that there was voter apathy in the election. I think what happened in the election was that the distribution of voter disenfranchisement
because it was like Nigerian voters
to actually go out to vote, but for what some of the bad elements in the society tried to do, they tried to suppress voters, they did not allow voters the opportunity to fully participate in the process. So we thought it was a negative side from the election. That the last extent, while the commission tried to improve from what it did on the basis, voters were largely not given the chance to participate. And on the other side also, we saw that some desperate politicians decided to go back to the old tricks of buying votes from voters. And it is so annoying, so dehumanizing that you hear in some places that they give voters as low as even alcoholic drinks just to go vote for them. In some places, they give out things like spaghetti to voters. How much is spaghetti just to buy voters' votes?
So essentially, these are not necessarily areas where it is INEC that is at fault. But shouldn't there have been some intervention from the security agencies, not just the in terms of where people were being prevented from being able to vote, but whether on the basis of ethnic profiling or their area in which they were voting and so on. But also in terms of, because we did know that the Economic and Financial Crimes Commission was on ground in the presidential and or the national elections, I should say. And although the distribution of spaghetti and alcoholic drinks may not quite constitute financial crimes, certainly they still would constitute electoral offences if they were being given for the purpose of inducing people to vote in a certain way. Did we see any improvement in the law enforcement aspect?
So, aside all of this that happened, what the Commission also tried to do, especially in the resource statement, is that the Commission did improve. But what remains a challenge is the inconsistency in the application of the guidelines, because in some instances you see some people ask for review and the commission reviewed, and in other instances that never happened. A case in point is from Enugu, before the announcements were made, the agents they asked for review and the commission said it was going to review, and after that the commission suspended the collation process. In Kaduna, in Kuna local government, when collation was happening, the party agents also raised concerns, and so the commission requested, the returning officer requested that they should go and reconcile the submission that was done online with also the submission that was done on paper to reconcile the two before the collation, before to continue with the collation. So, I mean, if you go back also to some of the elections that has happened in the past, we have seen also where the commission has relied on the submission that was done on its online election results being put out before the passed
The regulations stipulate that where the manually collated result is not available, then the returning officer can turn to the online, to the iRev results, or results that have been electronically transmitted. But if those are not available, then they can turn to the ones that have been given to the police or the security agency, and if those are not available, to the ones given to the political party agents, because they all constitute, well, apart from the IREV one, they are all primary evidence of each other.
Well, I don't think that was the case in some of the places based on the report you have received. It's just a function of the ones submitted online and the paper that were submitted. There were problems with the reconciliation with the papers, and so the returning officer asked them to go back and reconcile. But then, the biggest question or the biggest challenge with this is also, I think that the commission is vested with so much discretionary powers, and that is where you see this inconsistency in the application of rules. While in one place to ask for review, in another place, the commission will go ahead and make a return and ask people to just go to the court. So I thought we need to review some of these powers and the way the commission applied the powers in the elections.
Or perhaps there needs to be more clear guidelines as to how those powers of review would be exercised. Because one of the things that, I was asking you about the performance of the security agencies in the election, but I also wanted to ask, since we've moved on to talk about the performance of the Independent National Electoral Commission, to just ask that, do you think that we are on the right track with regards to our electoral reform process? You know, it's been an ongoing thing since, quite frankly, probably from 2007, when late President Yar'Adua was elected. He said that, look, this election was so bad that we can't do this again. But we've had a gradual journey. Are we on the right track, or do we need to go right back to the drawing board when it comes to seeing how we can make our elections work?
I think the roadmap is clear. But the political will implement some of this that is still a problem. For me, I would like a situation where we conduct a post-election audit of the complete issues from the election, looking at major thematic, a thematic approach audit, looking at the logistics, the technology, and even the INEC communication, because I thought they were the major issues from the election. But on the commission also, is to begin to talk about its own operational independence, because one of the challenges that happened in this election is the sort of appointment that were made into the commission that we thought were problematic. There are some people with partisan inclinations that were appointed into the commission, and we saw how that played out. Even in the next appointment of the National Commissioner, there are some people that are inexperienced because they never showed up even in the election. And I thought that was also why we saw a lot of pressure on the part of the commission to deliver, where they have challenged with manpower. The commission simply sit back and wouldn't communicate properly to Nigerians to understand what the concerns were, because I thought the commission should have been proactive in its engagement and not necessarily reactive.
I'm going to have to we're going to have to discuss this issue of revisiting and the post-mortem of the elections at another time, because believe it or not, your 15 minutes of fame are up.
I always struggle with 15 minutes.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you, Ayo, for the opportunity again.
Some insight into looking at the last election. Certainly there are more, there's more that we need to talk about. So thank you very much for being
on the
Ideas Program.
All the best. Yeah.